Okay, today I want to talk about kvetching. Yes, thank you for that. Yes, and our propensity to kvetch when things don't go the way we want them to go.
Yeah, because what? So, like, I kvetched so much yesterday.
So and where does it come from? And you're like, how do we avoid it? And you know, because to be all honest, like it never goes the way we want it to go, because no matter how good it is, it could be better. And we always think, and sometimes it really is hard. Life is hard. It presents us strategic difficulties. So we'll, I want to start, we're going to start with Vayira, just because we have to start with the parasha. But very often, when you learn Parashat HaShavua, in order to really understand the parasha, you have to go backwards. Okay, so we're going to start with just the beginning of the parasha, and then we have to go backwards to know where it's starting from, because really, this week's parasha starts in the middle of a section, starts in the middle of a discussion. Okay, so we'll start with Shemot, and we're gonna see an amazing Rashi that easily missed, and then we'll go back and see where it begins with. Perek Vav Pasuk Bet, Parshat Vayira. There you go. Right there, beginning of Vayira. Vayidaber Elokim El Moshe, Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem. So God spoke to Moshe, and he said to him, I am God. But obviously, the English translation doesn't do it justice. Okay, so there is none. We're out. Sorry. Really sorry.
Put the sign.
Right, I know, seriously. It kind of sprung up on me. You can't take it without, can you? I can't either. I'm sorry. Okay. You know what?
There's a little box.
What?
There's a little box of green.
It's finished.
There's another one.
Oh, well, you didn't tell me that.
And if you want to, go ahead and take it. Because you said you could take it without, but she said she wouldn't take it without.
Right, I hear you. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So now I'm feeling guilty.
I should have passed for.
That's it. In the door.
You're
in the door. Top, right there. Okay? Okay. So go ahead. Take. It really makes a difference. Okay. Wow, that really worked out interestingly. Vayidaber Elokim El Moshe. So did not God talk to Moshe? What is Elokim? What's Elohim? What does it mean, Elohim and Yud-Heh, Vav-Heh? You familiar with that? Very good, right. Elohim is Din. The God of Din, of justice, of judgment, came to Moshe and said, Ani Hashem, I am Yud-Heh, Vav-Heh, which is the God of mercy. What in the world is going on? Right? It seems to make no sense at all. So the God of justice comes to Moshe and says, I am the God of mercy. Okay, and then he continues and says, Va'ira el Avraham el Yitzchak ve'el Yaakov be'el Shaddai, u'shmi Hashem lo nodati lahem. And I appear to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov as El Shaddai, but the name of Yud-Heh Vav-Heh, I didn't make known to them. It doesn't say I didn't tell them at all, because Hashem does appear as El Shaddai.
What does El Shaddai mean?
Look at Rashi.
It just says, I am El Shaddai.
Rashi says El Shaddai, Gimel. Hivtachim, hivtachtim, havtachot, I promised them promises. Ubekulam amarti lahem El Shaddai, and all of them I said El Shaddai, meaning El Shaddai is like, the way I understand it, like God of gods, with Shmi Hashem. What is Shmi Hashem lo nati lahem? Okay. Lo hodati lahem en ktiv kan. It doesn't say I didn't tell them at all. Lo no dati. Lo odia means to make known to them. Lo nikarti lahem bemidat amitit sheli. In my true nature, which is what? She'aleha nikra shemi Hashem, that I am called God, ne'eman le'ameit devari. I am reliable le'ameit, to make true devari, my words. Meaning, shemi Hashem means, I said it, I'm going to do it. El Shaddai is like God. And Yud-Heh Vav-Heh is God. Angry God, Din God, Justice God. Now, by the way, we do talk about, God has many, many different attributes you should take. It's fine, really. I feel bad now. Okay. What? Now it's going to be a battle of wills. Can she take it without? Can she not? Yeah. Okay. Right? The name of God did not make known to them. Okay? So what are all these different... What's going on here? This whole conversation seems extremely weird, you know, unusual. Right? Hashem appears to Moshe. He appears to Moshe and says, I am God. Right? I appear to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov as God, but not as God. What is God telling Moshe Rabbeinu? Have I not sufficiently confused you?
Every aspect of himself to Moshe.
Okay.
Because Naomi revealed certain aspects to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov.
Why? Why?
Because Moshe needs to connect and understand the full power in every sense of the word, the merciful, the justice, the one that can destroy the world type thing, everything, to know that he's coming from a point of strength. When he goes back to, he's just come off where the, he went back to Paro. He just,
correct.
Paro, he just came to Paro, and he asked Paro to let them out for 3 days, and Paro made everybody's life
worse.
Right. So he needs, Moshe needs to understand, I know what I'm doing. I'm just...
You're close. You're real close. But you're missing an important, really important detail. Let's just read on what Hashem says. And now he says, Vegam. Read on, just so we say what God's message is. Hakimot yet ri'iti itam letet lem eretz Canaan. I fulfilled my covenant to give them the land of Canaan. Et eretz begurehem asher garubah, the place where they sojourned. That's okay. Vegam ani shamati et na'akah p'nei Yisrael l'shem Yisrael ma'avidim otam. And I've heard the na'akah, the cries of the Jewish people, by eskoret b'iti, and I remember my covenant. Lachen. These are very important words, by the way. You just know it's worthwhile to point them out. Emor livnei Yisrael ani Hashem. Say to the Jewish people, I am what? Which God?
The God that took care
of Yud Hey Vav Hey. The way Rashi explains it, I am the God of keeping my word. Okay? Now you can underline these words in your chumash if you have underlining. V'hotzeiti etchem mitach hasivlo mitzayim. And I will. Very good. Vitzeiti. What's the next one? Vihitzalti etchem avodatam. What's the next one? Vegaalti etchem bezuratiyah v'shvatim gedolim. Velakachti etchem lila'am. Right. Those are the four of the Shonot Geula. There's only one problem with the four of the Shonot Geula. What's the problem?
There's one more.
What's the next one?
What's the other one?
Where's the next one? Pasuk chet. The next pasuk. Vehiveti etchem mehalaaretz. Right. There's five of the Shonot of Geula, not four. And the fifth one is, for our intent, for our purposes, for my purposes, quite an important one. I promise to bring you to the land. It's not just Geulah. It's not just getting Vehotzeiti, Vehitzalti, Vega'alti, Velakachti. It's not enough to get out. Right? Geulah is not complete until Vehiveti etchem el ha'aretz. What?
Then you can't sing Dayenu at the Seder. When we say it's enough that you took us out.
Well, that's the joke of Dayenu. Because it's not really enough. Right. It would have been enough had you taken us out of Egypt and not given us the Torah. Really? And the answer is? No, it would not have been enough. Right. You know, like, it would have been enough had we not crossed the Yamsu. We would have been stuck in the desert. It would have been great. You know? Right. What's the point of Dayenu? Just as an aside. So what's the point then?
Not to complain.
Right. Every step is not to complain. I like that. Correct. Every step is significant in and of itself. If we had died in the desert, we would have had that experience with HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
It's the recognition of the process that every part was a step. That's not
correct. Exactly. But it would not have been enough. You know how I know it would not have been enough? Yeah, because God obviously had a process and he wanted to bring us there to Canaan, and it would not have been enough. Okay. So now let's go back. Where is this all coming from? Vayidaber Elokim El Moshe. Elokim comes to Moshe and he says, Ani Hashem. I am Yud Hei Vav Hei. So why is Elohim coming to Moshe? Let's go back to Rashi on Pasuk Vav. Okay? Pasuk Bet. Beginning, very beginning again. Okay. Rashi says, Vaidaber Elohim El Moshe, Diber Ito Mishpat. He spoke to him harshly. Why? Al Shehiksha Lidaber Vilomar Lama Hariota La'am Hazeh. But you forgot the most important point of what is God responding to? It's not Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not that it's made it harder. What's God responding to?
Moshe's questioning him.
Moshe's fetching. Right. Moshe's, you say it properly, you're right. Moshe's questioning of
Hashem.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Right. Moshe Rabbeinu, in order to understand the beginning of Vayera, sometimes parshiyot really begin at a stop. But this is one of those where if you don't read the end of last week's parsha, the beginning of this week's parsha makes no sense at all. You know, you have to read as a continuation of this week's parsha. So in order to do that, of course, what do we have to do? Go back to the end of last week's parsha. So go back to the end of last week's parsha. So the end, we'll just pick up really almost at the end. Okay? Pasuk Yutet. We'll say Perek He, Pasuk Yutet. Okay? And we'll pick up from there and then we'll see what Moshe's response was, and then we'll have to discuss it. Va'ata, Paro says to them, L'chu yivdu, go get back to work. Teven lo yinaten lachem, no straw for you. V'tochen levenim titenu. But do me a favor, remember, you got to produce the bricks. Okay, no straw, but the quality, quantity and the quality of the bricks will not suffer. Vayiru shotrei b'nei Yisrael otam bara lemor. Okay, the best word I would use is kapos, right? Because remember, the Egyptians, they didn't touch the Jews. They had their intermediaries who were responsible to make the Jews work. It's always that way. Like that. How do you get the Jews to do what you want them to do? You make them do your dirty work. You know what I'm saying? So the Jewish policemen saw the Jews bara, harshly, negatively, saying, Lo tigu mi liv nechem dvarayom biyomo. Don't you dare come up short. Because if you come up short, who's the Pharaoh going to come after? He's going to come after us. So it says vicious chain. You know, and so therefore we're going to come after you. Great. Pasuk Chaf. What's that? Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a... Did we not do the Ramban with you on the beginning of Shemot? On the process of slavization?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, the Ramban.
How they started.
What's that? You were there, I think. The process of transforming a free people into an enslaved people. It's really... And the shocking thing is... Correct. He's describing Nazi Germany in Chris and Spain. That's the shocking thing. You know what I'm saying? It's really unbelievable. History's very good at that. You know? I was like the quiet... Nobody ever saw Welcome Back, Kotter?
Yeah.
My favorite quote from Arnold Horshack. What is... What was... What will be was, but will be again. He had a way of saying it, but it's very true. One lesson, he decided to learn history. Okay. Kaf, vayifku'u et Moshe ve'et Aharon nitzavim likratam. Vayifku'u, how do they translate vayifku'u? What is the root? What do you say, what do they translate? What is the root of the word lifgoa? Paga, pogea means?
Hurt.
Hurt. What does it mean?
To reach your target.
To reach your target? Lidgar means, to hit the target. Interesting. What does it mean in the Tanakh? What does it mean?
It says encountered.
They counted?
Encountered.
They encountered.
They came across.
Right. They came across. What it really means is they met him. They met them, but it means they attacked them. They attacked Moshe and Aaron, standing likratam to meet them, b'tzeitam me'iparo. So now the Jewish kapos, they just had their meeting with Paro. Paro called them all in. And he said to them, we got a problem, and you're going to solve this problem. Because if you don't solve this problem, someone's going to pay. So you can imagine how they feel leaving the Cairo Conference Center. You know, and all these Jews are leaving the Cairo Conference Center because, of course, they know that they have responsibilities. And who's standing outside?
Moshe
and Aaron. So they come to Moshe and Aaron, and they attack them. They say, Vayamru Aleihem. Yera Hashem Aleichem V'Yishpot. By the way, and what's the name of God that they use?
Hashem.
And why do they use Hashem? Why do they use that name? Where do they hear that name from?
Moshe
told them. Right, remember the whole discussion in Har Sinai. Moshe says, who are you? What should I tell them? And what did God say? Eheyeh Asher Eheyeh. What is the root of Eheyeh? Yud Hey Vav Hey. This is God. So what do they come back and say? Remember that God you told us about that was going to deliver us? Right, that God, you guys have to deal with that God. Yishvot Hashem Aleichem. Yirad v'yishvot asher hiv ashtem et reichenu. You soured our smell. Be'enei paro ube'enei avadav, in the eyes of Paro, in the eyes of his servants, the Egyptians. Latet cherev biyadam lahargenu. Thanks very much. Great. Right? You gave them the sword to kill us. Well done. Like, what did Moshe say to them?
Nothing.
What could he say?
He felt that way too.
Yeah. How do we know? Because he says it. Vayashev Moshe El Hashem Vayomar. Moshe returns to God and he says, it doesn't say Yud Hey Vav Hey. It says Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Adonai, my God, my master. But it doesn't say Yud Hey Vav Hey. Lama hareota la'am hazeh. Lama zeh shalachtani. Why did you do bad to this nation? Why did you send me? Umeaz bati el paro lidaber bishmecha heira la'am hazeh v'hatzel lo heitzalta et amecha. From the day I came to speak to Paro in your name, it's only gotten worse. And you haven't saved the nation. V'yomer Hashem el Moshe, ata tireh asher eseh leparo. Now you shall see that which I shall do for Paro. Ki b'yad chazaka yishalchem, u'b'yad chazaka yigarshem me'artzo. Moshe Rabbeinu comes back to God, and in a word he says, you said you would save them, and you only made it worse. Why did you send me? What's the point? It's only getting worse. Why? Why? Right? We're only left with one critical, fundamental problem with Moshe's complaint to God. Can somebody tell me what's the problem with Moshe's complaint to God?
Well, we learned this with your wife, so...
You did?
Are you working with us as a tag team?
Oi! Okay. I can only do the parsha as it comes. Yeah. No?
That Hashem told him it would be a process, and first they would suffer at the hands of the Mitzrayim, and then...
Of course you're doing Shemot now. You just did this, right? You just
finished
Shemot.
Yeah. Right?
Oi, okay.
You can't ask us any questions with three parshiot.
Some of them.
What, you're up to Bo?
And we're about to do the So, he comes back to Hashem and says, Lama Harayota, but he was supposed to know that it was going to be Harayota. So.
Correct. Right, exactly right. The problem that all the Mepharshim have to deal with is, Moshe Rabbeinu, why are you kvetching? Wasn't this the plan?
Yeah, but knowing and experiencing are two different things.
Yeah, we talked about this, in terms of also, Aliyah, you know certain things, or expect, but it's not going to happen to me, or it's not going to be that bad, or you try to cut
me. Well, you can deal
with it. You can't really understand what it's going to be until you experience it.
Uh-huh.
You can't understand it sometimes.
Oh, wait a minute, you're all giving me answers. So now answer...
Same thing.
What?
Yeah. Same thing.
You are?
Yeah.
Which is?
Moshe, he was told, but he didn't understand.
He hadn't internalized it.
Okay, so you're saying he knew it?
He hadn't experienced it, so he didn't
But
know.
Again, now he's coming back to God. He's not complaining to, he's complaining to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's coming back to God with a complaint. Which is, it's not, I thought it wouldn't be this bad.
That's really the answer the impression gave, that Hashem didn't say it would get worse. He just said that it would be a process and it wouldn't come out right away, but he didn't know that his involvement would bring harshening of the decrees from Bnei Yisrael.
Ah, okay. One second. So Moshe, you're saying, no, that's not the same thing. That's not the same thing. You guys are saying is that even though Moshe intellectually knew that it would be bad, he didn't really think that would be true. He didn't emotionally internalize. That's what you're saying.
He just didn't understand. It's an unknown. You can't know... And so sometimes until you experience
you know,
certain
until
things,
you know
can't write. You can tell a woman what childbirth is going to be like.
Until she's been through
and
it.
And until she's been through it, she really doesn't understand what it's all about.
But that's your early.
Didn't seem so bad to me.
I was just going to say, never complain about childbirth.
Yeah, you're doing great, honey. Keep it up.
Until that kidney stone.
No. We're all very happy that you know.
And Lahashmat.
Okay, and Lahashmat. Okay.
Wait, I think what Deborah is saying is he's complaining because he feels like he's the candidate.
Oh, second, different. Those are different. That's exactly what I want to do. I want to sharpen the answers. One is personal, right? One is you're saying that, and by the way, I just want to say about Aliyah for the tape, right? In many ways, as bad as I said, it was never as bad. It was much better than I thought it would be. Oh, the lines and the bureaucracy and the this and the that. And there is that for some things. But for other things, it was great. I mean, you know, a lot of times it was much better than I thought it would be.
Well, I guess because there's 24 inches now where you came from. We're seeing an angry weather.
Oh, yeah. I mean...
Nefesh for nefesh.
What? Things have improved a lot over the years.
Made Ali actually 2 years ago.
It was bad. Yeah. Yeah, 100%. But it's much. I think it's much better than much better than it was, and that should be said. That should be noted. You know, we complain about the government. You should give it props when it does a good job.
But it's also thanks to the internet and the mobile phone.
Yes, 100%.
When we made Aliyah in 1977, there was one phone in our building.
My uncle told me when he made Aliyah in 1972, they waited 6 months to get a telephone. And now you could wait 6 minutes to get your cell phone until they handed you. Your cell phone?
The waiting
took me 6 days.
Cell phone,
you need a credit card.
First, open the bank.
All right, fine.
In the 70s, in 1970,
then the regular form isn't so simple either.
Baruch Hashem. Although, on the other hand, I will say that certain things were harder than I thought they would be. Meaning the change in life and the change in, like you say, like they tell you it's going to be hard, but when you go through the difference in what you know where you were and what you are now, like you know what I'm saying? I'm sure physicians is the same way. You were that, and then you know that you're it's not going to be the same. But when you go through it, it's a different experience. Okay. What? That's good in a sense.
Right.
It's not that bad. Yeah, right.
I don't know what they're talking about.
Okay. I want to focus also on Moshe's words. Because when you look carefully at Moshe's words, I think it becomes clearer what his complaint is. Okay? Let's read back on Moshe's words. Vayashev Moshe El Hashem Vayomar. God replied to God. Moshe replied to God and said, Lama hariota la'amaze la'amaze shelachtani. Why have you done bad? Why have you sent me? From the time that I came to speak in your name, it's gotten worse. Now let me read it again, and you read the words again. What's Moshe really complaining about?
Why did you put me in this situation? Like,
meaning what? Meaning what?
He's like, what? Why me? Why? He's like complaining about.
But it's not why me. He's not saying why me, why me, why are you doing this to me? No. What is he saying?
How can you put him in a position where I can't really help him?
Yeah.
Meaning what?
He's helpless.
More. What?
It's his fault.
Therefore,
you
should not have sent me. Yeah. That's what you meant, right? Yeah. That's what you should. Why me? Meaning why did you send me? I mean, it was a good plan, and it made a lot of sense, and all that, and I knew it. But in a sense, what's Moshe saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu?
I told you so.
That's exactly what he says. I wasn't the right guy. We discussed this last week. Moshe, God says, you're the guy. Moshe says, I'm not the guy. He says, you're the guy. I'm not the guy. Go anyway. Fine.
Sounds like a
broadcast. Doesn't it, right? And now Moshe comes back to God and says, I'm the guy. Lama zeh shelachtani. So, well, so interesting. Self-fulfilling prophecy. Okay, so now in order to understand this, we have to ask ourselves, in order to understand this section, we have to go back and see what in the world did Moshe Rabbein, God told him that it wasn't going to work. When did God tell him it wasn't going to work? That's Perek Gimel Pasuk Yutet. And then we'll come to our Midrashim. Okay. Perek Gimel Pasuk Yutet. Moshe is standing at the sneh. I think you've got a rabbi on your hands. You're laughing.
A big talker.
Yeah. Yadati. God says to Moshe, Ki lo yiten etchem melech mitzrayim lehaloch, velo biyad chazaka. It's not going to work. And not without yad chazaka, without a strong hand. So, I'll read you the Midrash. Down here. Says the Midrash, Shmot Rabbah. God saw what was going to happen. And it's going to get worse from the time that Moshe Rabbeinu was sent. And so that Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't make a mistake, God told him very specifically, I'm telling you, and clear according to the Midrash, exactly this and this is going to happen. And what happened when Moshe Rabbeinu?
Exactly
what God said. That's exactly what happened. Says the Midrash, "Kedei shelo yatiach dvarim klapei mala," so that you won't yatiach dvarim, throw things back klapei mala. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? Says exactly that. Ve'av al pikein, and still he tiach dvarim klapei mala. God did throw it right back at him. V'alav ne'emar. So the Midrash says the following. Ha'oshek yeholel chacham. That's a quote from Mishle. Ha'oshek yeholel chacham.
With an ayin?
Oshek is with an ayin. Oshek is generally considered usury. Usury will confound the wise man. Somehow, Moshe Rabbeinu was confounded. So the question becomes, what in the world is this Oshek that the Midrash is referring to. It's a very vague term. This Oshek is personal involvement. Right? When you are personally involved, then you can't make an objective judgment. So what's the personal intervention that Moshe Rabbeinu is talking about? So now we can turn back to, I find a similar Midrash, okay? A very similar Midrash. Umeaz bati el Paro, back now on Pasuk Perek Vav, the end of Shemot. From the time I came to Paro, Batzelo Itzalta, okay? Says the Midrash, Shemot Rabbah. It just so happens it's the same Midrash because in this book it divides it up. Lama hitlonen klape mala. All the Midrashim, so if you like, the Mefarshim are interested in all the same question. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu complaining? Alahadahu dichtiv. This is what it's saying. Ha'oshe kiholel chacham. Same pasuk. Right, you can look it up. It's Kohelet Zayin Zayin. Amar Rabbi Yehuda bar Simon, chacham ze Moshe. Who's the chacham? He's Moshe. Oshek she'ashku oto datam va'aviram. This Oshek, this confusion, is the confusion that Datan and Aviram confounded. Yeholel Chacham, it will confound the wise person. Heim irbevu oto, they confused him. Heim shehikni'u tuhu ve'amrulo, they are the ones that grabbed him, that fetched on him, and they said, Yeireh Hashem aleichem v'yishpot, God will judge you. Ba'afhu makpid. Says the Midrash, there were these two guys, our favorite troublemakers, Datan and Aviram. And they were the ones that confused Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was standing, it wasn't that all the people came outside, it was Datan and Aviram. And they said to him, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're going to pay. God's going to make you pay. Because Datan and Aviram, they come back over and over again. By the way, if you want to see it in Rashi, look at Rashi on Pasuk Chav. Vayifku, who met Moshe Rabbeinu? Look at Rashi on Pasuk Chaf. You see it? Vayifku, Anashim Yisrael et Moshe v'Aaron. He says in Pashup Shat, in Simple Shat, who are these people of Vayifku? Jews, Anashim Yisrael. Ve'rabotenu darshu, but our rabbis darshened, meaning drash. We'll see what drash is in a few minutes. Kol nitzim v'nitzavim. All these people who are nitzim, standing up, are Datam v'Aviram. Shne'amar b'hem yatsu nitzavim. Right, they stood nitzavim, ready to stand up. This is Datan and Aviram. Who are these Datan and Aviram? You could do a whole shiurim on Datan and Aviram. Right, where else do we find Datan and Aviram?
With the buried man.
Does it say Datan and Aviram?
No.
What?
Also says
some guy. Right, but all of a sudden it's Datan and Aviram. Right, so what is Datan and Aviram? What do they do back Moshe then, and what do they do to Moshe here? What do Datans and Avirams of the world do to Moshe? What's that?
They make him doubt.
They make him doubt. Well, it's so good. What about? Meaning before, Moshe Rabbeinu comes and says, why are you hitting each other? And Datan and Aviram say, well, you're going to kill us like you killed the other guy? And now they come back. They come out of Paro's palace. They come out of the conference and they say, you made it worse. That what? Very good. Very good. But that what?
That he.
What do they play on?
Exactly right.
All Datan and Aviram say to Moshe is everything he said to himself. But as soon as Datan and Aviram, these guys say it, the Datans and Avirams of the world, they articulate the thing that Moshe Rabbeinu himself fears the most.
They're validating it.
Right. Moshe Rabbeinu said to God, I said I'm not the guy. He said, no, you are the guy. And Moshe said, okay, I'll go. In the back of his mind, he's always thinking, I'm really not sure I'm the guy. And all of a sudden they come out and they say, you have made it worse. And Moshe said, aha! I knew it! You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Moshe Rabbeinu comes to them, to these Jews, and he killed the Egyptian the day before. And now he comes to the Jews and says, why? Let's all work together. Achdus! And they come and say, murderer! Yeah, right. Many years. So it's not, I mean, Datan and Aviram are archetypes in the Midrashic sense. They show up. You know what I'm saying? When the Midrash says, is it literally Datan and Aviram? I don't know. Doesn't matter. When these figures show up, right? You know, and where did Datan Avraham, by the way, really show up in the Chumash? It's so interesting. Anybody know where they really show up? Korach, right? What do they say to Moshe in Korach? What do they come and say to him?
Who made you the leader?
Not who made you the leader. Hamaat, right? It's bad enough that you, God, took us out of Egypt and you promised us an Eretz Zavat Chalav Divash. And now what do we have?
Desert.
We're stuck in the desert. We're not going to come see you. Or you think Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know that? You think he himself didn't see himself as failing the Jewish people? Like, that's the great tragedy of Moshe Rabbeinu. That for all his greatness, he was not able to get them to the Promised Land. Or you think he didn't know that more than anybody? And who has to say it? Datan and Avira. Hama'at kilo ha'elitanu. You didn't do it.
But why are there two of them?
Why two? Datan and Avira? I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know. I really don't know. But it's like those are the guys. And Rashi says, lo and behold, Chazal come along and say, these guys. So what are these guys? Let's put them as the two guys who play into our own insecurities. You know, we all have these. We have Moshe Rabbeinu too has these insecurities, has this doubt. Did I make? Was that, when I said, when God told me and I acquiesced? You know, should I just have said, I'm not doing it? I'm just not doing it. Like in some part of Moshe Rabbeinu says, you should have just said, God, I don't care what you do to me. I'm just the wrong guy. I know better than you, God, that I'm making the right choice. And God said, no, you have to do it. Moshe acquiesced. And now these guys come along and say, you know, and how many of us haven't heard that? Like when you have that koshi, when you have that sense, you have that feeling, and you call your friend up and she says, oh yeah, I just got my promotion and my business going really well. And, you know, and you say, wow, I'm really struggling. And they say, well, you know, you knew it was going to happen. I told you it was going to be hard. And, you know, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. you know what I mean? Like, you know. You know, because there is that. Okay, so that's so. How could Moshe Rabbeinu complain? Because Datan and Avraham are forcing him to complain. They're playing into his doubts. They're playing into his insecurities. And according to the Midrash says Yehol El Chacham, i.e., when Moshe Rabbeinu turns to God and says, "Why have you done this to me?" He has been confounded. He's confused. In a way, he's wrong. Of course he's wrong. How do you complain to God? It's wrong to complain to God. But he's been taken over, in a sense, by these insecurities that have been placed upon him by these people. You know what I'm saying? It's an interesting device, according to the Midrash. Right? How could Moshe do this? Well, there are these guys that got to him. Okay? And we know who these guys are, and they're always bad. So in a sense, the Midrash, in a kind of sense, absolves Moshe for saying what he said. Right. That's me. Okay. And we'll just leave that there. Okay. That's one interpretation, one possible interpretation. Let's find a second interpretation according to the Midrash. According to Rashi, skip now to Shmot, Vav, okay? Rashi on Pasuk Tet. It's an interesting Rashi that you often don't get to because the Rashi is kind of hidden. It's a really actually fascinating and important Rashi for understanding Chumash in general. But you don't get to him because it's like an interesting Rashi that's hidden. So God says, you know, Vayiral Avraham El Yitzchak El Yaakov El Shaddai Ushmi Hashem Lo Nodat to them. I appeared to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov as El Shaddai, right? And the name of Hashem, I didn't tell them, but I told the B'nai Yisrael, I promise to take them out. If you look in Rashi, in Veloshamu Mikotze Ruach, skip down, I don't know how many lines you have, but it starts with V'rabotenu Darshuhu. So Rashi, he gives one interpretation of the whole thing. Now, it's interesting, this is an unusual Rashi, because he's now going to give an entirely different interpretation of the whole section. You guys see it? Rabotenu Darshuhu? It's important to see it inside, if you can. Mm-hmm. You got it?
My daughter is teaching me to read Rashi script.
Rashi script. Okay, it says, about, I don't know, six or seven lines. There's like, should be a dot there. There should be a dot there. Rabotenu Darshuhu. Our rabbis learned it out. Where you found it? You have it? I want everybody to see it inside. On Pasuk Tet. Rashi on Pasuk Tet. Rabotenu Darshuhu. Okay, our rabbis learned out. Rabotenu Darshuhu, our rabbis learned out this whole thing, Inyan Shelmala. God's whole response of Yisrael, Yitzchak, and Yaakov is about what was said above, meaning, Shamar Moshe, that Moshe said, Lama Hare Ota. Right, this whole thing is a response to Moshe's complaint. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, said God to Moshe, Chaval al da'avdin v'lo mishtachin. Chaval, what's chaval? We don't know what chaval means. Oh, chaval, right? Chaval, chaval, chaval on those who are lost and are no longer around. Yesh li lehitonein al mitat avot. Says God to Moshe, you're kvetching? You got problems? I should be complaining back to you. Why am I kvetching to you? I wear the avos when I need them. Harbe pa'amim nigleti la'lehem be'el shaddai. You know how many times I appeared to them as El Shaddai? V'lo amruli meshamecha. And they never said to me, oh yeah, what's your name? Oh yeah, who are you? What are you about? Never once. V'ata amarta. And you say, the first thing I say is, I appear to you in a burning bush. It's pretty cool. And the first thing you say is, well, I'm supposed to go to the Bnei Yisrael? What's your name? What should I tell them? Ma'omar aleichem. What am I supposed to tell them? I come to Avraham Avinu. I say to him, Avraham Avinu, I don't even come to him. He figures me out. And what does he do the first thing? He doesn't appear at a burning bush. What's the first thing he does? He jumps into a furnace. No problem. You're at the burning bush. It's not consumed. It's an incredible trick. And what do you say to me?
Who are you? What's your name?
When Avram had to bury his wife, what did he have to do? Lo matza karka. He couldn't find a place to bury his wife. Nobody would give him anything. Adchib kana domim merubim. Until he had to buy it. Think life is easy for you? What about Avram Avinu? He wants to bury his wife and nobody will give him a place in the land of Canaan that I promised him. You can imagine, what should God, Avraham have come to God and said? God, you promised me the land, at least a kever for my wife? V'chein b'Yitzchak. When Yitzchak, iruru al ha-be'erot asher chafar. He had it easy. What about the wells that he dug? And what did the people do in the land that I promised him? They filled the wells and they complained and nothing but fights. V'chein b'Yaakov. V'yiken el chelkat ha-sadeh lintot alav. He had to buy a place. He had to buy like a dunam in order to build his house, to put his tent. Velo hiruru achar midotai. And what did they not do? They didn't kvetch. They didn't kvetch. Vata amarta lama hariota. And you say to me, lama hariota. You know, it's like, you read the Rashi, it's like so powerful. Like, Shmi Hashem vayira, so you could, like, you read the Rashi, vayidaber Elokim el Moshe. I don't know how well Rashi's rewriting the Midrash. Rashi's paraphrasing the Midrash. Vayedaber Elokim el Moshe. Elokim spoke to Moshe. Right? And he said to him, I am Hashem, ani Hashem. I appear to Hashem. Right? Vayera Avraham el Yitzchak el Yaakov el Shaddai. I appear to Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov as El Shaddai. And you know what? I never heard from them. They never complained to me. And all of a sudden you're complaining to me? Why? What's going on here? Oy. What I wouldn't give for a real Av. I need a forefather here. You know what I'm saying? It's like very harsh on Moshe. Ouch. Yeah.
There's a big difference. These are all personal issues. Moshe's complaining for Bnei Israel, not for himself.
He's complaining for himself because he's saying he wasn't the guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
not
it's
because
interesting.
It hurts him, but because it's bad for Bnei Israel.
No.
Okay, you're defending. I'm just reading the Rashi. Now let's read on the Rashi because it's a really important Rashi. Right, right. But Rashi does, the Midrash does. So Rashi's going to the Midrash tomorrow. How do I know? Midrash says the following.
The Torah kind of brings down the source.
Oh, the Torah kind of brings down, but he says, look at what he says. Midrash achar ha-mikra. He says the Midrash isn't exactly correct. I'll tell you why, for a few reasons. He says it's not a great interpretation. Achat, for one reason, shelo ne'emar, Ushmi Hashem lo sha'aluli. Because if God was really complaining about and saying, oh, the Avos were great, they would have said, Ushmi Hashem, they never asked me about Shmi Hashem. It doesn't say that, it says, Ushmi Hashem lo nodati lahem. I never told them. V'im tomar lo hu di'am shekach shemo. And if you say, I never told them that this is his name, הרי תחילה שנתגלה לאברהם בין הבתרים נאמר אני השם. The first time when Abraham appeared בין הבתרים, he says אני השם. You can't say that I never told them my name. I told them my name, I just tell them a lot. Okay? אשר הוצאתי מאור כשדים. That I took out of אור כשדים. ועוד, האח השמיכה נמשכת בדברים שהוא סומך לכאן. What's the connection between this thing and then the next section, which is, וגם אני שמעתי. I have also told, לכן אמור. Mina Rashi says, it's a nice vort, but it's not pshat. It's really interesting. Rashi says, I quote the Midrash explains it in this way, but it doesn't really fit with the text every single way. Therefore Rashi says, לכן אני אומר, this, you know, this is a great Rashi for understanding how Rashi looks at the Chumash. Therefore I say, יתיישב המקרא על פשוטו, let the verse, let the text be understood in its simplicity, daver davor al ofanav, each matter in its own understanding, v'hadrash tidaresh, and the drash, the midrash, should be understood in its own way. Shene emar, as it says, halo ko dvari ke'esh ne'um Hashem, so are my words like fire, so says the Lord, ukepatish, like a hammer, yefutzatz sela. When you take a hammer and it crushes the rock, what does the rock do? What happens to the rock? It splinters. Michalek lekama nitzotzot. It splits into a bunch of different shards. A bunch of different nitzotzot. Says, right? It's a beautiful Rashi. It's a very powerful Rashi, a very important Rashi. Because Rashi here is telling you, you want to know how I learn Chumash? This is how I learn Chumash. Right? Midrash is great. And the Midrash has its role. But doesn't really fit with the pshat perfectly. So is it wrong? Chas v'shalom. It's like this, when you take a rock and you splinter it in different directions, each one has its own point. So the Midrash has a point. What's the point of the Midrash? The point of the Midrash is, Kadosh Baruch Hu in some ways lamenting the true faith, the blind faith of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The Moshe Rabbeinu, like, they're looking for proofs, they're looking for miracles. So Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they didn't want miracles, they were very happy. But that's not pshat. The pshat is very different. Is I will fulfill my words. I will tell them, etc., etc. I just wanted to show you this Rashi. It's a really important Rashi in order to understand how Rashi learns Chumash, because until this point, until Rashi's point, the vast majority of people who understood Chumash, all they cared about was Midrash. Right? They only had this on the stuff on the side, and that's how they understood Chumash. Rashi was very much a trailblazer. He said, yeah, the Midrash is great, but does it interpret the text exactly? Does it fit perfectly with the text? And when it doesn't, I'm going to go in a different direction. Now, we take this for granted now, because we're like, you know, 800 years later, and we have afterwards the Rashbam and the Ibn Ezra, etc., etc. But this Rashi, this comment of Rashi, in interpretation of text, was a trailblazing Rashi. And it's a good Rashi to know, so I thought I would point it out to you. It's a really important Rashi. Okay, so, but according to that Rashi, Chaval al dimit avdin v'al mishkachin v'lo mitav v'lo avdin. So, according to Rashi, Moshe Rabbeinu's complaint, we'll go back to our discussion, right? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu kvetch? And what was God's response?
Lack of faith.
And what did God say? What was his answer?
El Shai.
Yeah. But what was God's response to Moshe Rabbeinu's lack of faith?
Wait and
no.
I was there for Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and I'll be there for you.
Well, not really, though. What's the word? Okay. The words, Chaval al da'avdin v'lo mishkachin. Like if you know, like, can you imagine if you say to one of your kids is complaining, you say, "Oi, your brother never complained like that." No, right. what, it's a harsh rebuke. It's a very harsh rebuke. So what's God saying to Moshe Rabbeinu?
You're not as good as
me. Yeah, you're not as good. You know, like, ouch, it really hurts. Really, it's like a start. It's a harsh rebuke.
Don't come in
when he's down. Well, really. And it's Vaydaber Elohim. Remember the Bikur Rashi? Dibir ito mishpat. It's harsh. There's an even harsher Rashi. Go back to the end of Shavuot. Okay. This Rashi actually appears in another place. On Pasuk Aleph. Atatire. God comes to Moshe and says, Moshe Rabbeinu complains, why'd you send me? Okay. God says to him, okay, now you'll see. Atatire, I'll show you. Rashi on Atatire. Says Rashi, Hirharta el... What? Vav Aleph. Parak Vav, the end of that, you know, you not Parak Vav, Pasuk Aleph. Now, like I'm showing you, by the way, you see how much this is a unit. You really cannot learn Parashat Be'i, you're going to get Va'era without the end of Parashat Shemot. It's really one unit. Says Rashi, Hirharta amidotai. Hirharta means you wondered about my attributes. Lo ka Avraham shamarti lo ki bi yitzchaki kare lechazara. Remember Avraham Avinu? I told him, your children will become a zera, will become a, you will be named or whatever. Your children will become a permanent inheritance to you. And then, and then I told him, oh, and that kid, I want you to kill him. What did Avraham not say to me? Right. He didn't say that. He did it. The fikach atatir e. Now you will see. The word atah means now. Ha'asui leparo tir e. There's a play on words, but a very sharp one. Now you will know. That which will happen to Paro, you will see. V'lo ha'asui lemalchei shiva am umot. Kishavi em la'aretz. You will not see that which will be done to the seven kings when I bring the Jewish people into the land. It's really a very harsh rebuke. Atatir'eh, God says to Moshe, now you will see. But later on, you will not see. What did God say to Moshe Rabbeinu?
You're not going to enter.
Yeah. Ouch. You know what I'm saying? For Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, you're complaining to me?
And look what my dragon he's on and look where
he's 100%. You're complaining to me? You don't have faith? That's okay. I'll show you now. But because of this, you can't go into Eretz Yisrael.
It's a hard understanding of it because we have from the Torah when Hashem tells Moshe he's not going into Eretz Yisrael.
Right, yeah, late, much later.
So why are we hinting it on 17 other acts that happened all along the way, and then when it really happens, then I say, okay, now God told him. But earlier, it was because of this, and earlier, it was because of that. And now Hashem told him you're not going in.
I just, right? Yeah, like, you're right.
She's adding in you're right. That Hashem's not saying to him.
You're right, but on some level, what Moshe Kadosh Baruch was saying to Moshe, your lack of emuna in me, you could say it this way, will ultimately be the downfall of your inability to lead the Jewish people into Eretz Israel. It's unfair. It's unfair for us to say to Moshe, like, how could Moshe not have faith? He's Moshe Rabbeinu. He stood at the snare. He brought us the Torah. He had faith. But on some level, in some way... What?
He just got the forward.
You just got the forward, never got the Heveti. But it's like, I read this, I'm like, oh, it's so sad. Like we say, but Hashem's answer to Moshe is harsh, incredibly harsh, and immediate. Okay? That's it. You know what I'm saying? And we don't, like these Rashis, like they're the end of the Parsha, you know what I mean? It's like, these are so critical. And you know, it's so easy to skip. That you wonder about me? Fine, you're out. At least permanently, at least for, you know what I'm saying? You won't get to Eretz Canaan. You won't get them into Eretz Canaan because if you think they're the wrong person, then it's not going to happen that way. Okay. There's two other things that I want to share with you in 5 minutes. That always happens. You guys have Ramban. There's incredible Ramban, which you might have done. You tell me if you did the Ramban. You have the Ramban? The Ramban on this section. What did Moshe Rabbeinu think? The Ramban asks, obviously, the question that everybody asks.
Which
pasuk? Let me find it because I underlined it. I think here we are. No, we Ramban at the end of. Yes, we are.
You did all the Rambans in the parsha with your wife.
You did all of them. Yeah. Okay. The Ramban on Chaf Bet, on Hey Chaf Bet. Okay. Lama Hari Ota. So he asks the obvious question and he gives Ibn Ezra's answer. You can tell me if you did this one. I don't know if you did it. Ramban says, Ulufi da'ati. Like remember you talked about. I think you guys said about expectations. Ramban says pretty much that. He says, I think, you see where it says, Chafet, the second paragraph down, Lefi Da'ati, I think? On Chafet. Oh, you brought your Ramban. Uh-huh. Yeah, good. Lefi Da'ati, I think, Shechashav Moshe Rabbeinu thought, Ki lo yomar Hashem shelo yishma lehem paro, lo tziem miyad b'mitzvato. He said, yeah, God said, Paro's not going to listen. Paro would immediately not listen. And Paro would not accept the signs until Moshe did the incredible wonders. Aval chashav, but Moshe thought, ki yiviyem alav tkufot zu achar zo biyamim me'atim. Moshe thought that when God brought the signs upon the Egyptians, he said he thought it would happen fast. right away. Kshamar lo yadati et Hashem, when Paro says, I don't know God, yitzaveh la'asot miyad lefanav otatanin. Immediately God would say, okay, do the snake thing. And then immediately he would say, okay, right away, v'hu lo yishma, v'yokeh oto bo bayam badam. And then God would say, right away, he didn't listen, blood. Frogs, right away, don't listen, hail. Get him, slam him. Uksherash amdu shlosha yamim, when he saw 3 days and it happened, v'hu yariyah lahem b'chol yom, v'hashem lo kehabo, v'lo nitgaleh Moshe lehodiyo ma'yaseh. So, but things were taking longer, and God didn't tell them what to do. Az chasha Moshe ki arukahi. Moshe knew what was going to happen. But it's not the difference between the reality and the expectations. Moshe thought he would go to Paro. Paro would say no. He said it would start to be like chit-chat, bam, 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 get him out. But it wasn't bam, bam, bam. It took time. And it didn't take a little longer than Moshe thought. It took a lot longer. We're not going to read the whole Ramban. Ramban says it's interesting. Between the time that Moshe Rabbeinu appeared and then this happened, Moshe went back to Midian. He brought his wife back to Midian and he came back 6 months later. And God isn't coming to him. So God comes to Moshe Rabbeinu with this and then he says, deliver the Jewish people. And Moshe's like, yeah, we're going to go. And Moshe starts the process and nothing happens. And Moshe's looking to God and saying, you told me to redeem the Jewish people and nothing's happening. And that's why Ramban says, that's why he says, Va'ata, and now you'll see. Okay, Moshe Rabbeinu, now we're going to start. For whatever reason, processes take time. They don't happen the way we want them to happen. And I see a lot of just beauty and power in the Ramban's vision in the world in which we live today. You know what I'm saying? We always, we're like the land of Israel and the process of redemption. And people look at us and they say, look at what's going on. They say, yeah, it's amazing, the rebirth of Israel and the beautiful thing, but, no. And the answer is, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't work on your timetable. It works on His timetable. And it's not right of us. We don't have the right to doubt and to say, well, you know, what's going on here? Like, who are you to say? Decide what the timetable is supposed to be. The process is the process. And you have to be patient. You know what I'm saying? You have to trust that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will fulfill His prophecies, will fulfill His promises to us. One last thing I want to share with you. If you have a chumash like this, the Kli Yakar is unbelievable. It's a very, very powerful Kli Yakar and worth actually going into in depth. Okay, so of course, he wonders the same question. Okay, and he says, so interesting. Amar Moshe, Kli Yakar says, Ulai ani hayiti siba lezadafi shalachta ish. Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, remember we talked about, why did you send me? Maybe you sent the wrong guy. Remember, what was Moshe's complaint? What was his problem with going? He said last week. What was his insecurity? Couldn't speak. He says maybe because I went to Paro and I'm stuttering. I can't get the words out. So Paro thought this is what their God sends to me. This is their rep. Their God is mocking me. Instead of sending someone who can talk, someone who can speak to me, someone who can represent me, it's a joke. So Moshe says maybe that's the reason that you sent me. So it's so interesting. Okay? Ibn Ezra says, God said the following back. Hayadua, it's known, Shekachi Hamida. This is the way world works. Shebechol yom samuch la'alot hashachar. Every day, right before the first light, Hachoshach machshich biyoter min chashach halayla. Very famous phrase. Right? It's always darkest before the dawn. Another phrase? Something like that. And then, then the light begins to shine. He says, interestingly enough, he says, you know, when people, God forbid, are on their deathbed, right? There's always, right before they pass away, there's always this energy, this burst of energy that they have, right? Because they know, in a sense, that they're going to die, and it's the last fight. So they sit up and they eat and they try and they push, and then they pass away. Ki kol davar tivi hamargish shabakin egdo eze davar chilo. If when they know, because any nature, when it knows that there's something that wants to uproot it, azu mitchazek biyoter kineged mikdado, it pushes that last push. The battle of the bulge, right? When you know Like you have that last fight, that last gasp. You push a little bit because you know that you're dying. Kachu b'chol hadvarim shizkarnu. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu, you want to know the best sign that God is redeeming the Jewish people? Paro made things worse. Why did he make things worse? Because he innately senses his own downfall. And it's hard for us to remember, you say, but it's an interesting natural law. Like when things are at their worst, that's when you know things are about to get better. So we looked at Moshe Rabbeinu was fetching. What did he fetch? Some Chazal say he was tricked by Datan and Aviram. Others say his expectations weren't met. That's a lechatchila yakar, we said. Others say he blamed himself. Right, and then we saw the very powerful Midrash that spoke about the idea that Moshe Rabbeinu himself was wrong, and he was punished for it. And we also saw the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu yearned for Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He was waiting for an Av. But I think that deep down, this notion of are we, when we complain about things the way they are, right? Were our expectations realistic? Were they reasonable? Do we have what to complain about? Or on the other side, if you look at it the right way, if you look at it from the proper perspective, you saw things, if you had the faith and saw things from the way I see things, you would see that really Kadosh Baruch Hu is guiding us and is leading us. And it's not to say, of course, we're not Moshe Rabbeinu and fetching is a natural part of life. But sometimes when we change our perspective and we see things or try to see things from another way, we could see that A, Baruch Hashem, things aren't as bad as sometimes as we see them. B, that there's always a way out. And C, that if we really look, Kadosh Baruch Hu is really there for us, and he's there for us, guiding us in his own way, whether we choose to see it or not. Okay, we'll stop here.